Let's not bow our heads for the word of God. Oh Lord, the joy of being able to serve you, being able to worship you, and now, Lord, to sit at your feet, to feast upon your word ever so freely, to recall the glorious truths in Scripture, truths that every day and every time we're exposed to change our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege and joy of being able to minister to your people. Thank you for bringing me back to be with my church family. Lord, use thy servant now to minister your word to them. And in all this, Lord, may our hearts just be captivated by your glory, your beauty, your majesty. And may we always be thankful, always, for what we have in Christ and who we are in Christ. Be glorified, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I remember one of them, I think it was Pastor Morris who told me, oh, it would be nice, Pastor, if one of the elders can come. I told him, Brother Joey will come. Okay? And he will stay for 2 weeks. Ayan. Anyway, today is Resurrection Sunday, right? And so, the resurrection message is entitled, What Happens When You Die? What happens when you die? And I think lumabas na po yung ating resurrection issue of the life, right? And basically, this message was what I had submitted for that issue, although truncated in the issue. And this is really a common but very important question, right? And I wonder how often this question has popped up in your mind and in most people's minds. What happens when you die? What happens when you die? And when you look at what is happening in the world today, brethren, the wars, the diseases, the life-threatening sicknesses, unexpected and excess deaths, among many things, have you ever thought of the answer to this question? Now, let me just say, and I believe this with all my heart, for those of us who are true believers in Christ, I believe that this is a question that rarely, if at all, comes to mind. Because as believers in Christ, we know the answer to this. Amen? And that is why I think the question for those redeemed by Christ is more along the lines of not so much what happens when I die, but what is heaven like? Hindi po ba? Is my guess correct? It's not so much what happens when I die, but what's it like to be in heaven or something like that? And this question is almost always, I believe, accompanied by a sense of joyful assurance, joyful expectation, and sometimes even a tinge of impatience. Am I right? As we try to answer these questions as believers, we get excited about it. Amen? And if some of you are like me, sometimes I get impatient. Lord, kailan ba? How much longer pa ba, Lord? No? There's excitement, not dread, as we answer this question. However, for those who have not yet truly grasped the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you might be here today, and this may not be your first time, but to those who have not yet truly grasped the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that question would, at most, for those who think they are good or spiritual enough, that question might be comfortable, but maybe a comfortable, but a wishful hope. When I say hope the way common people all over the world understand it, I'm not talking about the New Testament hope. It is the word sana. Yan ang hope. Sana. It is wishful hope. with never an honest 100% certainty. At least for those who have not understood the gospel, but they think they're good enough and they're spiritual enough. So they might be thinking, siguro naman, nasa langit kasi mabait akong tao. No, hindi naman ako mamamatay tao. No, I've been a very loving, sacrificing father or husband or wife or mother. I've been diligent naman. I've been religious. I've been going to church naman every Sunday. So, sana, siguro, malamang, but never 100% certainty. On the other hand, for those who know that they are not good enough, for those who actually acknowledge, I'm really a bad person, for them, the question would more often than not create an anxiety that they would rather avoid thinking about. Hindi po ba? Because they know they're bad. They know they're sinners. And so they'd rather not ask the question, what happens when we die? Because in their minds, they will say, ako, alam ko na. And I've heard many people actually say this. No? Ay, nako, ako, alam ko, impyerno na ako. The sad thing is they say it so flippantly as if hell is just one of those inconvenient places where they would end up with. It's not. And there is no understanding of the word horror for any one of us that could ever describe the true horror of hell. And this is why, brethren, this is such an appropriate question to answer for what we celebrate in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when I ponder this question, one passage in Scripture almost immediately comes to mind. And I would like to refer you to Philippians chapter 1, second part of verse 21. To die is gain. You know the first part of this, right? What is the first part of verse 21? To live is Christ. To die is gain. I'd just like to focus on that second part. To die is gain. And really, we need to ask the question, how can someone say with full conviction, to die is gain? Amen? Even those who want to be freed, for example, from extreme pain and suffering and difficulty, would seek death just as an escape. But given a choice, these people who are going through extreme pain and suffering would still choose life under circumstances very far from those in which they are suffering. Kung po pwede lang. And for them to die is gain is simply an escape. And the reason for this, brethren, I believe, is that they have no certain idea of what is on the other side. And they have no perfect certainty that they would get there on the other side of heaven. They have no certainty at all. And so they don't know. They don't look forward to it. Because first of all, they really don't know what's on the other side. Or worse, they're not even certain that they would make it there. But not Paul. Not Paul. See, when Paul wrote this letter, Paul was in prison, and you know this. And yet this letter has a very joyful tone in it. If you count the number of times he used the word joy, joyful, rejoice, you'd count several of these words just in this letter. In fact, one of the reasons for why Paul wrote this letter was to let the Philippian believers know he was okay. He wanted to testify that even in prison, he was greatly used by God to preach God's word. Take a quick look at verses 12 and following. Sige na po, tignan po ninyo. He was testifying there how God had used him to minister even to the Praetorian Guard. So that everyone in the palace, at least where he was confined, heard the gospel. And so, He was in prison, persecuted for the faith, and yet he was testifying so joyfully how God had used them, how God had used him and is continually using him. And yet, though he was joyful and hopeful, you will see that in verses 18 to 20. Sige na po, tignan niyo lang po na mabilisan, verses 18 to 20. Although he was joyful and hopeful, he was ready even for the possibility of dying in prison. Because he did not know how long he was going to be there. He did not know what else he was going to suffer. And that's why he said, for me to live is Christ, because even wherever I am, that's what I want to do. I want to glorify Christ in my body, whether alive. And that's what he was doing, sharing the gospel, not letting the bonds of prison stop him from ministering the gospel to others. But then he says, to die is gain. Because I want to glorify him even in death. Look at verse 20. So that means he was mulling the possibility that he might not ever leave the prison or he might later on be executed. He did not know what his fate was. Of course, we know after this imprisonment, this was his first imprisonment, he was set free for some time to continue to minister. But then later on, he was arrested again all the way until the time he was executed. And then here he says, to die is gain. Now I believe, brethren, to be able to declare this, to be able to say, to die is gain, one must know how indescribably beautiful what awaits him on the other side, one, and two, must be perfectly certain he would get there. Amen? I believe that's the only way you could truly say to die is gain. If you knew exactly what was waiting for you on the other side, and you knew, you were certain that you would get there, that's the only way you can say to die is gain. Otherwise, why will you say to die is gain? If you didn't know what was on the other side. I've heard people who say, oh, I hope heaven is not just all clouds. I would die of boredom in eternity. And so people come up with all their versions of heaven. For a golfer, heaven is the eternal 18-hole where every shot would just be so eternally beautiful. Really? For some people who love, who are gastronomic, for example, heaven is the eternal buffet. I know some motocross bikers who would describe heaven as the eternal off-road experience. Kanya-kanyang version, because they don't know what it is all about. And this now brings us to the question, what happens when you die? And so let me answer this question in two parts. First, what happens when an unbeliever dies? Ayan. Okay? And so allow me to answer the question first for those who are not saved when they die. And I would never presume that all of us here 100% are already in Christ. I would never assume that. And that's why I'm answering this question first for you. If you have not yet come to Christ in repentance and faith by the grace of God. And when I say those who are not saved when they die, this would include, on one hand, the outrightly wicked, the pagan, the atheist, even the agnostic. In other words, those who don't care at all about God, much less fear and believe in Him. Ito yung mga lantaran na talaga walang pakilam sa Diyos. They might even be hostile to God. But on this list also, let me just say this, is included the religious, the spiritual, the, quote, good people who think they can pay their way to heaven by their own good works and religiosity, or by not being, quote, as bad as other people. And so they think that. And I've been to numerous wakes and funeral services that I did not handle as a pastor, but of relatives, friends who are just simply religious, all of them unbelievers. And they would sometimes say, well, we know she is already in a happy place, in a good place. And I would just bow my head in sad and silent prayer and say, Lord, how deceived. If this person did not come to know Jesus Christ in a saving way, no matter how good a mother or wife she was or sister she was, she's not going to be in heaven. Because the only way to heaven is through Christ. Through faith in what He did on the cross of Calvary. And therefore, if I were to answer this question, what happens when an unbeliever dies? This is my answer to them. You don't need to take this down, but you might want to take down just the verse references. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. This is one verse that will debunk reincarnation, as far as I'm concerned. Why? Because of Romans 6:23, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And secondly, that's Romans 3:23. Please change that. And then Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And that would be my short, straight to the point answer. What happens when an unbeliever dies? Well, it is appointed for men. The Bible says it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Why? Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And the wages or the penalty of sin is death. Now, if you look at Revelation chapter 20, second part of verse 14, all the way to 15, please open your Bibles there with me. Sige na po. This passage describes briefly what this death is. For the wages of sin is death. This passage describes what the death is. Second part of verse 14. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This is a literal place. The book of life is the book which lists the names of those who had come to Christ in repentance and faith. And here the Lord was saying, if your name is not found in that book of life, you're not listed because you are not saved, then you will be thrown into the lake of fire. Notice there are no exceptions, except of course if you're good enough or you're religious enough, then puede. No, it's an absolute statement. If your book is not found in the book of life, you will be thrown into the lake of fire. And that's scary. Because no matter how religious or good you think you are in the eyes of men, if you are trusting in your own goodness, your own spirituality, your own religiosity, you will be among those who would be thrown into the lake of fire. I'm sorry, that might sound so harsh and judgmental, but I'm only saying what the Bible is teaching. Amen? And then the next part, okay. Now what happens when a believer dies? Ayan, and really, this is what this message is all about, because it's a totally different story for believers. And please listen. It's a totally different story for believers. In other words, for those who humbly acknowledge that they are sinners, worthy only of God's judgment, Because they had offended their holy Creator and God. In other words, for those who earnestly seek His forgiveness, fervently repent of their sins. It's different for those who realize that they are unable to save themselves through any merit of their own. It is different for those who know that their only hope for salvation is in believing who Jesus Christ is and accepting His perfect sacrifice on the cross as the payment for their sins. It is different for those who believe that Jesus rose from the dead, His resurrection being proof of the Father's acceptance of His death on the cross for us. His resurrection being proof that He is the promised Messiah that the Bible has been talking about, the one true Savior, who now lives in newness of life for the glory. It is for those who now live in newness of life for the glory of God and for the glory of their God and Savior. It's different for these. And that's why for believers, brethren, to die is indeed gain. Gain in the highest sense of the word for many reasons. And I've just listed a few. It is indeed gain. And I want you to ponder this for a while. For you are in Christ. Do you really believe that death is gain? Do you really believe that death is gain? Can you really say it the way Paul said it? To die is gain. I believe with all my heart he did not say that in a resigned way. For me to live is Christ. And yes, to die is gain. Yeah, I know I'm going to heaven. I'm sure he did not say it that way. I am so sure. He said the second part of that sentence just as excited, if not even more, but to die is gain. Why do I say that? Because as you continue reading that, he later on would say, but for me, it is better really to die because then I would already be forever with Christ. Can you as a believer truly say that to die is gain? Can you even look forward to it? The Lord tested me in this, in that trip. Even before that, I wasn't sure what I was going to face there. At some point, really, it's people would just freely gather together. Christians there are so brave. Conferences, 500. Umaattend. May worship. Maingay nilang worship, even though they're surrounded by M's. Anything could happen. And so I said, Lord, it wasn't as bad as I thought. But I was preparing my heart. I was already saying, Lord, if anything happens to me there, if you see yourself being more glorified in that, I go. And as the longer I stayed there, the more I realized how beautiful those words of Paul were. To die is gain. To die is gain. How many of us can say that? Now, what are some reasons? One reason is this. At the very moment a believer dies, his spirit immediately departs from this world into the presence of God. Amen? Are you with me? Ha? Pakitingnan yung katabi nyo kung medyo natutulog dyan. Sampalin nyo nga ng konti para magising yan. Nako. Ang ganito mensahe, hindi tinutulugan to eh. Amen? Ha? Unless he has already died and was ushered into the presence of the Lord. Kaya nakapikit ang mata sa tabi mo. So in other words, there is no soul sleep, as some people believe. What is soul sleep? When we die, our soul sleeps first, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. No. If you open your Bibles to Luke 23, verse 43, remember the second thief who finally repented of mocking Jesus? And he rebukes the other thief, tells him basically to shut up because this man is not like us who are guilty. This man has done nothing. And then he calls out to Jesus and says, Jesus, please remember me today in paradise. Oh, that's such a beautiful account. Maybe one of these days the Lord will allow me to preach on that. And what did Jesus say? Today, you will be with me in paradise. You're not going to be waiting when you die. You'll be with me in paradise. Jump to Acts chapter 7, verse 59. Remember the martyrdom of Stephen? He was being stoned by the Jews because he saw a vision of Christ standing beside the Father, and for that, he was stoned. And there you would read in verse 59, Stephen was calling out and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That's immediate. The spirit immediately being with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 and verse 8. Sige na po, buksan po ninyo mga Bibles po ninyo dyan. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 and verse 8. Verse 6. Towards the second part, while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Then jump to verse 8. We prefer rather to be absent from the body to be at home with the Lord. Okay? That is so Pauline. That statement is so Pauline in its sound, in the way it sounds. Just so Paul. But look at what he says. The moment we die, our spirit leaves and we are at home with the Lord. So in other words, brethren, these passages tell us that the moment we leave this body in death, we are forever at home with the Lord. Amen? Doesn't that make you look forward somehow? Death for us is simply the gateway into the presence of the Lord. It's not like when we die, our spirits are going to get stuck in that coffin and you're there just waiting till Jesus Christ comes so that you would be raised, or stuck inside that urn waiting for Jesus comes, or you're not put in a special place, a waiting area for believers waiting for Jesus comes. No. And that's one reason why Paul could say, to die is gain. And as I was meditating on this, I finished this preaching before I left for Pakistan. But somehow it kept on coming back to me during the trip and all throughout my stay there. I was just meditating on this. It says, I learned. Iba talaga ang kamatayan pagdating sa perspective ng Kristiyano. So, totoo lang. And, what else? As his spirit goes to be with the Lord, the believer now awaits the final resurrection body. So, our spirits go ahead while our bodies wait. Wait for the resurrection body which he will receive at the rapture. And in the rapture of the church, believers who had died before Jesus comes will be the first to rise, will be the first to be given glorified bodies. Please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with me. Let's read from verse 16 to verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Believers who had passed away first will rise. Then introduces a sequence. We who are alive and remain when Jesus comes upon the clouds will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. You're not going to meet Jesus in the air if he's just going to make you wait in some waiting area. And this is different from the second coming, because here Jesus comes down on the clouds and we meet him on the clouds. In the second coming, Jesus rests his feet on the Mount of Olives. He comes down to the earth. And so there are those who teach the rapture, what's being referred to here in the second coming, are one and the same. No. They're two very different events. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 52. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 52. Again, we're very familiar with this because we have tackled 1 Corinthians 15 a few times in years past. And I remember preaching at least once in 1 Corinthians 15 regarding the resurrection. Verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." Again, here Paul inserts another teaching on the rapture. "I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. We will not all die. But we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." Notice, there's a trumpet again, compared to 1 Thessalonians 4. "For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed." Again, when you read that in context, it's referring here to believers, because he was talking about the resurrection much earlier from verse 1. That is when we will receive the glorified bodies, our glorified bodies. Wow. I wish I could describe that just a bit more, but not for today. And here, brethren, I would like to stress this, especially in light of what we're celebrating. The resurrection of believers is only made possible by Christ's resurrection from the dead. Because of our identification with him when he died and when he was buried, when we accepted him as our Savior and Lord, that identification continues when he rose from the dead, so that we too now share in newness of life according to Romans 6:4. Praise God! Remember Jesus, when he rose from the dead, He then wore a glorified body. And that's why he is called the first fruits. He was the first among believers, among the children of God. And so we too will have those glorified bodies. But that is only made possible by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 11:25, please. John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies." Wow. Diba? How much clearer can that get? Even if you die, you will live. Because you believed in me, and I am the resurrection and the life. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Timothy 2:11, "It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him." Kaya ang ganda-ganda po ng water baptism. Ang ganda-ganda, talking about water baptism, Tim recounted to me that most of the Pakistani believers were afraid of water baptism. They're afraid to be submerged into the water. Why? Because they're not near any beach. Bihira po swimming pool po doon. They don't have the experience of going underwater. That's why the pool water was very low and they had to kneel down, because if the pool water was up to here, the way we sometimes have it here, and you put them under the water, they'll freak out. And they've experienced that. Some of them freaking out. No? But it's a beautiful imagery. You identified with his death, his burial under the water, and his resurrection as you're raised. That's why sprinkling will never be a picture of water baptism. Pouring will never be a picture of water baptism. Because baptism, baptizo, means to immerse. Kaya ang ganda-ganda po ng symbol niyan. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 20, I'm sorry, Romans 6, 5 and 8. Romans 6, 5 and 8. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall always also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 22. This is your opportunity to look at those verses, those passages, and mark them. Verse 20, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all in Christ will be made alive. Wow. So your death is but for a moment. In fact, when you think about this, it's just your body that will die, because the moment you die, your spirit is immediately ushered into the presence of God. It's just like you blink for a while, and when you open your eyes, it's the face of Jesus that you and I would see. Amen? What a beautiful sight that is. Diba? How many of you have ever experienced being hospitalized? Pakitaas na kamay. You've experienced being hospitalized. And so you're being prepped for a procedure, maybe a surgery. You're a little nervous. Okay, and the doctor says, it's okay, come on, we're now going to put the anesthesia, okay, and you will be knocked out in 3, 2, then you're gone. Okay? And so finally, you wake up, and I hate the waking up after a surgery. Why? Because you wake up in the recovery room. Strange room. You see everyone there. Toot, toot, toot. Dami nakatusok. No? It's very disorienting. But now when we die, when you open your eyes, the epitome of beauty will meet your sight. To die is gain. Now, all of these truths, however, I have mentioned so far, prepare us for something greater. All of these truths, our spirits upon death immediately brought into the presence of Christ, our bodies resurrected and transformed to be united with our spirits because of Jesus' resurrection. All of these truths prepare us for death's greatest blessing to believers. And what is the greatest blessing? Being with Christ Jesus our Lord and living with Him finally and forever. Amen? Are you dead? Doesn't that excite you? Huh? Wow. That's death's greatest blessing. If you open your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul there admitted, well, you don't have to open there because I've written it down here. He admitted to having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better than continuing in this earthly life. Given really a choice, a selfish choice, he would say, I'd rather die. That's so much better. Why? Because I'm going to be with Christ. That, rather than continuing the difficult life here. But then his heart was torn because he still wanted to serve the Lord and serve the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were still many he needed to reach with the gospel, and those who he had reached, he still wanted to be to be part of their development and growth as believers. But then he says it's better. And I want you to notice this, brethren. Notice, he did not say, having the desire to depart and go to heaven. No. He said, having the desire to depart and be with Christ. And be with Christ. And why am I pressing on this, brethren? Because today, in fact, for so long, many have been speaking about heaven without speaking about God. Guess what? Even unbelievers make movies about heaven with no reference to God at all, with no reference to Christ, our Savior, at all. And let's admit it, brethren, even some Christians focus more on the beauty and glories of heaven without much reference to the Lord. But as you've heard me say many times, heaven is not heaven without God. Amen? Heaven is not heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ, without our beautiful Savior and our wondrous Lord. If all the heaven you're talking about is a nice place without my Savior, you can have your heaven. And yet that's how the world looks at heaven. It's just a happy place, a peaceful place. Did they even ask why? And that's how many of these false religions teach heaven. Brothers and sisters, the most beautiful, the most glorious, the most precious thing in heaven is the Lord Himself. It's not the gates of pearl or streets of gold. It's not even eternal life. It's the Lord Himself. All the glories, all the beauty and the wonders of heaven, whether it is in the new heavens or in the new earth, will pale in comparison to the Lord. And that's why we are saved unto eternal life. You know, the more you think about this, why? Because it would take an eternity for the Lord to unfold to us, to reveal to us more and more of His glory. Hindi siya mauubusan. And we will never get bored. Plus, add to that we will be living in the new earth. Imagine a totally transformed, born-again earth, where there will be no accidents, no catastrophes, no calamities, truly beautiful in its truest essence. It would take us the whole of eternity to even enjoy that. Amen po ba? Brethren, it is God who gives heaven its glory. It is God. Please don't talk about heaven without referencing God. Open your Bibles with me to Revelation 22, verse 5. Sige na po. Revelation 22, verse 5. Can you just please allow me to extend? Okay? I missed you guys, really. And so excited to come back. And some of you don't seem like okay that excited, but it's okay. I'm excited. So, pagbigyan nyo na po ako. Okay? Revelation 22, verse 5. And there will no longer be any night. And they will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them. It is God who gives heaven its glory. Praise God. And even David, I believe, had an inkling of this when he wrote Psalm 27, verse 4, another very familiar verse to us. One thing I've asked from the Lord that I shall seek. One thing. What was that one thing? It's not even going to heaven. The one thing is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. His one thing was to gaze upon the Lord's beauty and to meditate on that beauty in His presence. Wow. It is interesting, brethren, that in Revelation 21, verse 22, we are told of the New Jerusalem, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. So what temple was David talking about here? Ultimately, it was the presence of God. Amen? Am I making some sense? And please imagine with me for a while. Okay? Come on, put down those pens. Put down those phones and just imagine with me for a while. Imagine being able to worship the Lord with perfect worship in His actual presence. Seeing Him take pleasure in you as you sing to Him. Imagine conversing with Him, freely asking questions, and actually hearing His voice as He responds to you. Imagine being able to tell Him just how much you love Him and hearing Him say, I love you too, my child. Imagine being in the presence of the one who not only loves, but is love Himself. 1 John 4:8. Imagine directly addressing God as my loving Father, to which He would reply, my precious child. Imagine being able to run into His embrace and feel His delight over you. Imagine sitting at the feet of the master teacher and hearing Him expound His truths and explain the mysteries of the universe. And you can ask Him anything. Lord, totoo ba may UFO? Imagine basking in the presence of the source of all joy and peace and beauty and love and life. Imagine being enraptured and awed by His glory and beauty as both your Creator and Redeemer, your Father and Friend, your Master and King. You're all in all. Imagine the Lord revealing more and more of His infinite self to you throughout eternity. Imagine. Brethren, this opens a new level of meaning to Christ's words in John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Amen? All of these things that I've invited you to imagine with me brings to a whole new level of meaning what eternal life means, what knowing God means. And I can go on and on and on and not come anywhere near to exhausting all that the words be with Christ holds for us. Hindi ko maubos. In truth, brethren, our finite minds can only imagine but a tiny bit of how truly wonderful and awesome all these might be. And add to these the fact that this will be for all eternity. How many of you have experienced going to a beautiful place and after 3, 4, 5 days, you have to come back home? Then as soon as you get back home, this is what you say, back to reality. Brethren, all the glories we will see all the glories we will hear and experience in heaven, in the new Jerusalem, in the new earth, where we would actually dwell, are but the cherry on top of the awesome cake of being with the Lord. Amen? They will be but the cherry. But what an awesome cherry that will be, right? All those glories. Pero cherry lang compared to being with the Lord. So brethren, death is gain because it also opens to us the door to other eternal blessings in addition to being forever with the Lord. Kaya talagang gain. Gain na gain. Super gain. Major, major gain. Amen? And some of these things, so here we have the presence of the Lord and all the other glories. Come on, you can just summarize that. And allow me to let you see some of these additional blessings. Okay, limited po time natin eh. Some of these you will see just in the last two chapters of the book of Revelation. So open with me to Revelation 21, because I will go through this quickly. In Revelation 21, verse 1, the Lord will create a new heaven and a new earth. No wonder the heavens will fold up like a scroll, because He will change all that. And it is not far-fetched that we might be able to travel to other places in the galaxy. We don't know. We have glorified bodies, right? And then in verse 4 of Revelation 21, see what the Lord will do there in His presence. And I love verse 4. The Lord will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will be no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Amen po ba? Are you getting this, brethren? Is this affecting your heart? All of God's people will live together in the New Jerusalem. Oh, you should read about the New Jerusalem in Revelation 21, 10 to 27. It is a picture of God's future home for His people, both Jew and Gentile. Jews who have come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, huh? And what a glorious home it will be. Can't even imagine it. 1,500 miles was that times 1.6. 20-something miles, kilometers, wide, long, and tall. Pag hindi pa tayo nagkasa dun, ewan ko na. Right? The 12 tribes of Israel in verse 12, peep with me, please, through Revelation 20, probably represent all the faithful in the Old Testament. And then in verse 14, the apostles represent the church. Thus, both believing Gentiles and Jews have been faithful to God, will live together in the new Jerusalem, in the new earth. And God is the focus of this city. He is the source of its light. If you look at verses 23 to 25. Come on, take a peep at verses 23 to 25. The Lord is its light source and everything else. And His spectacular glory will illuminate the city as it is illustrated by the lack of night. Walang gabi doon. No night. Because no darkness. You'll see that also in chapter 22, verse 5. The New Jerusalem itself is a temple filled with the glory of God. The presence of God will fill the whole city, making the need for a temple obsolete. You know what, brethren? We can't even imagine that, for the full glory of God to permeate everything. Look at verse 8. Of chapter 21 and verse 27, eternal life will be pure, untainted by anything evil. Eternal life will be where sin and wickedness will be forever gone. Wow. Oh, I can't wait to see that, especially in the light of what is happening in the world today. And finally, we would be completely and free, perfectly free, not only from the power and penalty of sin, but also from its very presence. One of the things that excites me most about eternity with the Lord is that I will no longer sin against Him and grieve His heart. I would no longer dishonor Him. We all would be completely free from the presence of sin. Look at chapter 22. Look at the first part of verse 3. The curse of sin will finally be forever removed. Look at the second part of verse 23 of chapter 22. The throne of the Father and of the Son will be in our midst, and we will serve Him with perfect service. Wala nang malamyang maglingkod sa Panginoon sa atin. We will serve Him with perfect service. Look at the first part of verse 4. We shall see His face without having to fear death for seeing Him in His full glory. Look at the second part of verse 4. We will be forever His, as His name will be on our foreheads. And this is just the tip of the iceberg, brethren. Eternal life will be an entirely new dimension of living. All this because Jesus paid for our sins on the cross and rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah with me? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I pray you were encouraged by this message because I've been strongly encouraged just by preaching it to you. To die is gain. But while we are here on earth, to live is Christ. Let's all please stand. Let's find a partner. Come on, let's just share what ministered to you today in a special way. Come on, don't stick to yourself. Share what ministered to you. Find a partner. Sige na po. Tumayo po tayo. Kahit kayo mga nasa taas. Make sure you give time for your partner to share. Okay? Don't do a Bible study with him or with her. Just share.
Make sure you give your partner time to share.
You have about 3 minutes to wrap up. If you are done, please pray for each other. You should be closing in prayer. If you're done, kindly please go back to your places. Okay po. Let's go back to our places, please. Can you all stand? Alam ko po, nag-extend po tayo ngayon. It was because of my report, but thank you for being patient with that. But can we just close with exalting the Lord, our God, in singing our last worship song that we sang? Let's sing this from our hearts with the desire to honor and exalt our most wondrous Savior.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music by its own. Awake my soul and sing.
we praise you and we rejoice in you, our living God and King, risen forever. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for coming into our lives, for saving us, Lord, at our appointed times. Thank you even that before that you had chosen us from the foundation of the world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have destined us now to be with you forever in all eternity, that we might enjoy you. Above all the enjoyment of the pleasures and glories of heaven, we would enjoy you most of all. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. To live is indeed to live for Christ, and to die is truly gain. We love you, Lord. Please burn this message in our hearts, Lord, and help us to continue to rejoice in the fact and the truth that the God that we love and serve, the God that we worship, is the living God enduring forever. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, continue to be honored in our lives. As we give to you, Lord, to your work, Lord, allow us to give in such a way as our giving is worship. Allow us to give joyfully. Allow us to give with faith, knowing, Lord, that whatever we give, you will multiply that to supply the needs of this ministry. And Lord, help us to give in faith. Help us to give out of loving obedience. And do guide us, Lord, in all our giving. As we go from this place, Lord God, help us to be a people refreshed with the truth of the gospel, of the glory of our salvation. Refresh, Lord God, with the truth that all this that's happening around us will be only momentary. Lord, one day, it will be eternity with you. Thank you, Father. As we go forth, help us to continue to desire to be, for you to be honored in and through our lives, because you are worthy. You are worthy, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 God bless you po. Please greet one another with the love of the Lord.